Shabbat Shalom and welcome to Kehilat Tenuvah, The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic congregation in Thornton, Colorado. You're listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. Our goal is to provide, for free, the message of the Torah from a Messianic Judaic perspective. Here's Pastor Mark.
So, my preface before we get started today is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. It says this. Paul to Timothy, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. This is the job description of every pastor. This is my job description. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. You know what a reproof is? That's when you're basically told you're out of line in a very gentle way with a warning to get back into that place of where you need to be. A rebuke is not gentle. It's just black and white in your face, and it is never pleasant. And then exhort means to encourage someone in a very pointed, very strong manner. You know, it's a strong encouragement. My daughter was playing soccer at her high school, and they were playing against a team for their year-end championship deal, and it was just tight, and it was intense, and little Shana, she's running down the deal, going after the ball, and this giant Nephilim on the other team. You know, just collides, and she goes crashing to the ground. And then that person's like stepping on her as she's rolling underneath her feet. That person's trying to keep their balance from falling too. Just like stomps her 3-4 times before she kind of rolls out from behind her, you know. And she's just laying there. We all stood up on our side. Everyone stands up, and you know, it's just quiet. Everyone kind of holds their breath, you know, and it's quiet. She's just laying there, motionless, laying there on the field. And then someone yells out, "Get up, McClellan!" Now she just looked up and jumped up and shook it up and went on, and it was awesome. So that was a strong encouragement. You know, pointed, "Get up, McClellan! You know, you can do this." So anyway, living vicariously through our children, it's horrible. So, but you know, that's my job description, to do these things, to actually correct, to rebuke, to bring reproofs. That's what I do. And it's never pleasant for the one that's on the receiving end. And I'm on the receiving end from time to time. I have elders that I work with, staff members, board of directors. And so I also answer to different people. And I don't like it either when I get reproved or even rebuked. But that's body life. That's body life. So don't be offended when you get reproved or rebuked or exhorted. Know that all of us need that from time to time. Now, it's never fun to be rebuked over and over and over. That could be a form of spiritual abuse. You know, the job of the pastor is to encourage most often and rebuke very rarely. So, but that's our job description, to do that with great patience and instruction. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Who's the they? The sheep. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. What that means is this. Sometimes we get to the place where we say, you know what? I believe what I believe. Don't confuse me with the facts. This is what I believe. And I'm not open to hear your position on it. In fact, I'm going to gather to me teachers that I already know hold my position, and that's who I'm going to listen to. You will never grow as a result of that. You and I only grow when we are challenged to revisit what we believe, to make sure that we are refining our positions to make sure they're lining up with the Word of God. Truth is a journey. Pursuing truth is a journey. No one has a corner on the truth. We are growing into it. They will all accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship. Endure hardship. Why would he say that to a pastor? Because Paul knew that the sheep have teeth too. Sheep have teeth. Endure the hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. So I want to encourage you that in times in which you're frustrated, in times in which you're reproved or rebuked, and you're feeling kind of low or bad, don't worry. I feel those same things from time to time. We're all in it together. Let's find the voice of God in all of our critics that we might continue to grow as well. So praise God. That is my preface to the sermon today, and you'll understand why in just a few moments. Hallelujah. My teaching today is entitled Shabbat Matters. Shabbat Matters. The biblical calendar that we have, it's a means of identity and also sanctification. And Shabbat is the first appointment on that calendar that our Father in heaven has given to us, that biblical calendar. Shabbat is the first appointed time, and it matters. So we'll talk about some basic parameters to observing the Shabbat today. But I also want to finish, and it probably won't be today, maybe next week, I want to finish with what the Shabbat will do for you and your family. I want to really focus on that because it's important for us to understand that God intends to bless us. God wants to bless us. That was our Torah portion today. He says, don't forget me. And how do we forget him? By not doing his commandments. That's how we end up straying and forgetting who he is and what he's called us to do and to be. We want to focus on his commandments. Why? He says, because in keeping them, there is great reward. So the rabbis have taught that God actually assigns specific blessings to each of the commandments, but he never tells you what the blessings are so that you don't cherry pick the commandments. So you just keep them, knowing this, that his intent is to bless. He loves us. He wants us to prosper. He wants us prosperous. Do you think the kingdom of heaven's going to be like, you know, a wasteland of impoverished people? Not at all. He wants to enlarge and bless and fill us with material blessings and spiritual blessings. That's his intent. So, with that being stated, let's step into our Father's calendar and discuss or at least teach on why it is important. The calendar is found in Leviticus chapter 23. And I'm going to start with the opening of what God gives us as his calendar, verses 1 through 3. It says, Adonai said to Moshe, tell the people of Israel the designated times of Adonai which you are to proclaim as holy convocations are my designated times. This is what we call a liturgical calendar. How many people grew up in a church that had a liturgical cycle? A few of you, okay? Yeah. So the church was designed to follow Abba's calendar. And so our whole year is set out based on these appointments, which gives us our times and seasons, which are really prepping us to understand who the Messiah is and what he came to do. It is an outline of our redemption, our sanctification, who we are, why we're here, and where we're going. And so that calendar is sublime in its importance to us and our families. It not only is a calendar for the people of Israel, it's also for those who are grafted in. People say all the time, yeah, that's a Jewish thing. No, it's a God thing. He gave it to his people. Yeah, but they're Jewish. Yeah, there was Gentiles who lived among them. The forerunners of the Gentiles who would come in later through the gospel. And what happens to those Gentiles when they believe in Messiah? They're grafted into the olive tree of Israel. They become part of Israel. One flock, one shepherd. He gathers and puts them in that which is already gathered, Israel, and they become part of Israel. Paul says we're part of the commonwealth of Israel. And once you understand that, all of this makes sense. People say all the time, oh, the Sabbath, you know, that's a Jewish thing. So was Jesus. If you can embrace Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, then you can embrace the Jewish way of life. Now I teach a class on being grafted in. We have a great book, an intro book to this whole movement called Grafted In. I'm so thankful that they named a book after our website. Praise God. It's a great book, though. How many people have not taken the class or read the book Grafted In? Raise your hand. All right, Linda, would you sign them up for my class? I think I might teach this class this next time around. So if you've never been through Grafted In, it's a must class that you need to go through to get an orientation as to who Israel is and what it means to be grafted in and what that means concerning our way of life. Very important for all of us to understand that. So the liturgical calendar is designed by God to order our life, to give us structure and stability. It defines our lives. It becomes a way of life for us. And it finds all of its fullness in Messiah. It's all about the Messiah. Sukkot is coming. Sukkot is a festival. Anthony Campolo, he made the statement, and it was just so controversial back 20 years ago, 30 years ago. He said, the kingdom of God is a party. What? You know, that's not very holy. You can't call the kingdom of God a party. He said, yes, I can. I mean, if you look at all the appointed times, they're all parties, except one. They're celebrations. God is just like more than we've ever understood in terms of happiness. He is happy. He's full of life, and he loves to fellowship with his people. And so he's given us all these times to celebrate and to enjoy this great redemption that we have through the Messiah. So Sukkot is coming. I'm telling you right now, get into the calendar. Order your life around the calendar. Make sure that you don't set your vacations in contradistinction or in harmony with the holy days. Make those the big sizzle and celebrate this great redemption that we have in Messiah. I know it takes money to take time off and go and do these things, but it's worth the investment. And the blessings that come back always transcend what you're going to do in terms of investment. So come to Sukkot up at Winter Park for 3 days. We'll laugh together, cry together if you're losing games. We play a lot of games. But, you know, it's just a great place to build relationship and to experience the grace of God and just rejoice in all that God has done through his son. We encourage you, come up to Winter Park. So, Orheim, Congregation Orheim with Rabbi Stu and Millie Lieberman, along with Pastor Norm Franz and Ascension Ministries, are coming up this year as well. So we'll get to meet some of these other congregations as well. It'll be fun. The calendar identifies us as belonging to the Creator, who is also the Redeemer, and him belonging to us. We'll talk about that more later. So Shabbat matters. Let's begin there. Shabbat matters. It is the first appointed time. It is the weekly day of worship. It's the weekly day of worship. So in verse 3, it says this: work is to be done on 6 days, but the seventh day is a Shabbat of complete rest, a holy convocation. You're not to do any kind of work. It is a Shabbat for Adonai, even in your homes. Notice this: Shabbat is a specific day. It's the seventh day. I keep a Shabbat. No, you're not called to keep a Shabbat. You're called to keep the Shabbat. It is a specific day, the seventh day. You're not commanded to choose your own day to keep as a weekly Sabbath. You're commanded to keep the Sabbath, his seventh day Sabbath. The Sabbath is not a Sabbath. The Sabbath is a specific day of the week. And he calls us to rest. Rest. Cease what you're doing for 24 hours. Whatever you do for your livelihood, put it off for 24 hours. Now, I know that's counterculture today. Because really, you're supposed to have a church service that runs about 35 minutes if you want to catch everyone. When you start talking about a 24-hour period, which is holy, which is a day of worship, you lose a lot of people. But we're not here to blend in. with pop culture. We're here to set the trend for God's culture. And God says you're going to rest for 24 hours because you need to, whether you realize it or not. You need to rest. So cease what you're doing for 24 hours. Get all of your normal activities done on the six common days so that you can sanctify and make holy this day. You got 6 days to do your laundry. Don't let it pile up, and then on the Sabbath, on your day off, you're doing laundry all day. House cleaning, 6 days to do your house cleaning. On the seventh day, rest. 6 days to mow the lawn. But on the seventh day, rest. 6 days to do all your shopping. But on the seventh day, rest. 6 days to exercise. Right? But on the seventh day, rest. It is a Shabbat for Adonai, for the Lord. It's his day. Shabbat matters to God. Therefore, it matters to those who love him. Right? He also says, it's not just a day of rest, but also these are holy convocations. And that's kind of an old English word, convocation. What it refers to is a corporate assembly. To convocate means to assemble. And a convocation is an assembly for all those who believe. So the believers are supposed to come out of their houses on Shabbat and Shabbat together to have a time of worship, of dance, of fellowship, to hear the word of God, and to be strengthened and encouraged. This is our corporate assembly. This is the service that we give to our God on Shabbat. We not only rest, we gather together for fellowship and worship and instruction. It's important that we do that. We need fellowship. We need instruction. We need community. We need communion with our God. That's the purpose of this day. If there is a Shabbat community near you and you do not attend the Shabbat services, this is for everyone that's listening by way of internet. Obviously, you're here, but we have a great internet audience. If there's a Shabbat community near you and you do not attend the Shabbat services, you're transgressing the clear command of the King of Heaven. I'll talk about exceptions later. There are some exceptions to the rule. We'll talk about that later. But if there's a Shabbat-keeping community near you, whether that's a traditional church or a Messianic congregation or a Jewish synagogue, get there. Observe the Shabbat. If you stay at home and listen to this podcast thinking you fulfilled it, you didn't. You're transgressing. Keeping Shabbat is more than a day of rest. It is also a day to convocate, to gather together, to worship God, receive wisdom from him in this community, in every community, for how to live life in the blessings of God, to build relationships with one another, and to become a faith-based, Torah-honoring community that serves as a witness to everyone around in that location. Okay, so the next part of this is to remember the Sabbath day. Remember, remember, remember. Verse 20, or chapter 20 and verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What does it mean to remember something? To remember means to recollect your thoughts concerning whatever it is that you're thinking about. So if you were to think about something, then your brain kind of goes back to those memory banks and it pulls out all these different memories associated with whatever it is that you're trying to remember. And then when it amasses and puts it all together, then you can sit there and meditate on those memories that make up whatever it is you're thinking about. Is that true? God says, I want you to stop and think about my Shabbat. I want you to like put all that together, understand what it means. I want you to really focus on the Shabbat. Because for me, Shabbat matters. So remember the Sabbath day. Put your daytimers out, your iCals, your Google Cals, whatever you have. And just mark the seventh day Shabbat as booked for God. Do the whole year. Do 2 years. Do 20 years. Do your life. Just put on there. Some of your software will let you do that, you know. Mark off every Shabbat for the next 50 years. Say booked. Booked with God. Filled up. No appointments. No other appointments are allowed, right? It is a 24-hour appointment that God has already made room on his calendar for. And we're to make the same room on our calendars. Time is sacred. And God sanctifies time before he sanctifies anything in the physical realm. Because time is eternity. It's eternal. It's everything. So God says, I want you to learn how to sanctify time itself. And you sanctify it by marking it out, remembering it, ceasing to work, and entering his rest. And then by attending Shabbat services with a local Shabbat-keeping congregation, church, or synagogue. House churches are included as long as they have an appointed elder who is accountable to an overseer who can remove him if he becomes abusive. Okay? If you're in house church and there are no elders, that's not a church. That's not a community. If you're in house church and there is an elder, but he doesn't answer to anyone, you know what? That's not true leadership. But if you have an elder in house church that actually has to answer someone for how they're ministering to you, then that house church qualifies as a Shabbat-keeping community. Verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. The Sabbath, the seventh day Sabbath, belongs to the Lord your God. He is your God, and this day belongs to him. And if he's your God and it belongs to him, then you need to pay attention. Because for him, it matters. It's his day. In fact, when it says it belongs to him, it's his, you could actually call it the Lord's day. Is that not true? When people say the Lord's day is Sunday, you need to just take them back to the passage. Say, excuse me, I beg to differ. The Lord's day is Shabbat. That's the Lord's day. And the only other Lord's day is that eschatological day of judgment that transcends 24-hour period of time anyway. But when you're referring to the weekly day of worship, the Lord's day is the Shabbat. Always has been, always will be. Shabbat is the Lord's day for weekly corporate worship, instruction, fellowship, rest, and renewal. It goes on to say, in it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. Everyone gets to rest and fellowship. The employer and the employee. The slave and his master. The husband and the wife. Everyone. Everyone, without exception, gets to rest and fellowship. Every Jew, every Gentile, everyone. Yeshua stated it well when he said, the Shabbat was made for man. He didn't say the Shabbat was made for the Jew. He said Shabbat was made for man. He uses the Greek word that refers to mankind, to humanity. The Shabbat was made for humanity itself. The seventh day is a 24-hour period of rest, communion, fellowship, and renewal for every human being on the planet in every generation. It is a human gift. Could I go so far as to say it's a human right endowed by our Creator? Isn't that true? Let's legislate that. And that's right in harmony with what our founding fathers said about our Declaration of Independence. Our rights come from God. We should legislate the Shabbat and tell our government, protect our right to rest, our liberty, our pursuit of happiness on this and every Shabbat. It's our right given to us by our Creator. I love that. Anyway, that didn't go over as well as I thought. Okay. We are not beasts of burden. We are the children of God. The fact that God says you get a rest is the proof that we are not to be treated as beasts of burden, to be made, you know, unlimited amounts of profit off of in terms of our labor. We get a rest too. The worker gets to rest, right? Even animals have rights. Do you know this piece of legislation is the first piece of legislation that we find in history, human history, where animals really are given rights? God says, even your cattle get a rest. Your oxes, your horses, you know, the animals that serve you and bless you, they too are to be given this 24 hours of rest. They are living souls. No work for anybody. Everyone gets a day off to enjoy some blessings. This is the Shabbat. And why? Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, which is the seventh day. He blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So the Shabbat is a memorial to God as the creator of all things, seen and unseen. When we keep the Shabbat, we are declaring and proclaiming that our God is the creator of all things seen and unseen. It's a memorial. This is his day. He infused it with unique blessings. He says, I'm separating this day from the other six. The other six are called common days. This is called my holy day. And this day is different from all those in that I'm infusing it with specific blessings that are unique to that day that are not found in any other day. Unique to the Sabbath. These blessings are tied into this specific day and not Sunday or any other day. Those are common days. Let's move on. Let's talk about Shabbat as a mark of identifications. Everyone talks about marks, the mark of the beast, and you got to watch out. It's going to be on your hand, your forehead, you know, ooh, wow. Got to watch out for the mark of the beast. But how many people talk about the mark of God? You know, not many. You know, God came up with this whole design of marks and signs as identifications of who people are and what their allegiances are. Just amazing. We're not going to go into that very much today, but I will touch on it. In Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 17, it says this, Adonai said to Moshe, tell the people of Israel. People of Israel, they are the physical descendants of Jacob, men, women, and children included. And then also, all those Gentiles and the nations who also enter in through faith in the promised seed, that's the Messiah, they too are grafted into the descendants of Jacob. In fact, we see this from the days of Abraham on. The Gentiles have been entering into a faith relationship via the covenant made with Abraham and thus joining Israel as the people of God, participating with the descendants of Jacob as Israel, the people of God. That's why we're given the same titles, like children of God, which was unique to the Jewish people, also given to the Gentiles who are born again and grafted in. We too are the children of God. Okay, so in Messiah, Gentiles are grafted into Israel and become part of her commonwealth. That's my class. Come and take it. There's one flock and one shepherd, John chapter 10. There's one Torah, and it's written on all of our hearts, Jewish hearts and Gentile hearts. That's Hebrews chapter 8 and chapter 10. So we are included in the commonwealth of Israel, believers in Messiah. It goes on to state, to Israel, which includes us, you are to observe my Shabbats, for this is a sign between me and you throughout all your generations. It's a sign between me and you. It's a mark of identification. It's a mark of God in us. The weekly worship day identifies who we serve, who we believe in, marks us out as belonging to him and him belonging to us. You know, I was reading some newspapers that are tracking the terrorism in France. And one of the headlines in an article in one of the newspapers in France had this statement. It said, first, the Saturday people, then the Sunday people. What do you think that phrase means? First Saturday people, then the Sunday people. This is a secular newspaper. So, first the Saturday people, who are they? The Jews. How do you know that? Isn't that funny that you know who that is? In fact, the secular world knows that when you talk about the Saturday people, that even the secular people know, you're talking about the Jews. First the Jews, then the Sunday people. Who are the Sunday people? We'll get down to that, but yeah, we'll say Christians. And then we'll get down to that. But you're exactly right. Isn't it interesting how that identifies people groups? Just amazing. People are identified by their worship day, their weekly worship day, or lack thereof. If there's people that don't do anything, then how are they identified? Agnostics? Atheists? Secular? There's some titles that you might... No, because actually, that would be part of a religious group. So they would have their identification too. But interesting, that's good. Well, let's go on. Next part of the verse says this, so that you will know you are to observe my Shabbats. This is a sign between me and you throughout all your generations, so that you will know that I am Adonai, who sets you apart for me. God is the sanctifier. He sets us apart by giving us his calendar. And when we step in and begin to observe his calendar, it marks us out. It identifies us as what? Belonging to the God of Israel. And that the God of Israel belongs to us automatically. Do you know if you kept Shabbat in Nazi Germany, you were gathered with all the Jews and ushered into the ovens. He didn't care to hear, well, actually, I'm Messianic. I believe in Jesus. It didn't matter. If you were keeping Shabbat, you're Jewish in Hitler's Germany. That was not good news in Hitler's Germany, but yeah, I get the being connected to Israel. God is the one that sanctifies us. Here's the question. Do you know God as the sanctifier? Because if you choose a different day other than the seventh day of Shabbat, you're experiencing your own sanctification. You are your own sanctifier. You're setting yourself apart, which is great, but you're holy unto yourself. If you want to experience him as the sanctifier, you need to embrace his ways. And then as you do what he tells you to do, you'll experience him setting you apart for himself. Verse 14, therefore, you are to keep my Shabbat, because it is set apart for you. His Shabbat is the subject matter, not the one you choose for yourself. Therefore, you are to keep my Shabbat, not your own, my Shabbat. You don't choose your own. I already have one. You're to keep mine. Why? Because it's set apart for you. I made it for you. I wanted to bless you. His Shabbat is the seventh day. He set it apart and infused it with blessing just for you and your loved ones. He goes on to say, everyone who treats it as ordinary, everyone who treats it like it's one of the common days of the week, must be put to death. Here's a question. Based on this, would you say that the seventh day Shabbat is a light matter or a weighty matter for the Lord your God? Yeah, you tell which commandments are weightier and lighter by looking at the penal code and what the consequences of breaking it are. And if the consequences are, well, you know, you're unclean until evening, you got to take a shower. Well, you know, that's one of the lighter matters of the law, which, by the way, are tied into the dietary issues. Don't make the dietary issues a mountain. They're not. They're part of the lighter areas of the law. But when he says, if you break this one premeditatively and without repentance, in other words, it's kind of lifestyle, he says, you get to die. Then you know that's a big issue for him. We don't think worship days are a big issue. No one thinks, what's it matter? I take a Sabbath on every Tuesday. I do mine on every Wednesday. I do mine on Sunday. You know, what's the big deal? As long as we worship once a week, as long as we rest once a week. Yeah, that's great for the human mind, you know, but God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Higher than the heavens are his thoughts from ours. And God says, you know what? It's not a big deal to you. It is to me, though. I'll kill you if you continue to neglect and violate it. Now, we are under grace, under the Messianic era, and there's a lot more grace in our era than there was Moses. But make no mistake about it, Shabbat matters to God. It's a big deal. And if we love God, we should love what matters to him. Isn't that true? So the day of worship does matter to God. and it should matter to everyone who loves him. Going on, it says, for whoever does any work on it shall be cut off from his people. On 6 days, work shall be done, or will get done, but the seventh day is Shabbat, for complete rest, set apart for Adonai, set apart for you, set apart for him. It's time carved out uniquely for God's children. Whoever does any work on the day of Shabbat must be put to death. It matters to God. Suffice it to say, it's a big deal to God. Going on, verse 16. The people of Israel are to keep the Shabbat, to observe Shabbat throughout all their generations as a perpetual covenant. So how long should we be doing this? Throughout every generation. That's a long time. As long as there are Jews, we're keeping Shabbat. Here, it's code for, at the minimum, until the eternal age comes. Because Israel is kept by God and will always exist as the apple of his eye until his son comes again. Yeah, perpetual. It's a perpetual covenant. That's code for a very, very long period of time. He goes on to say in verse 17, again, it is a sign between me and the people of Israel forever. It's a sign. This is the Hebrew word that can be translated mark. It means to be identified through a mark or a sign as belonging to God and him belonging to us. Isn't it interesting that today, three of the world's main religions are identified by their weekly day of worship? Islam, Friday. Judaism, including the Judaism of Messiah, Messianic Judaism, Shabbat. Shabbat, Friday evening to Saturday evening. And then you have post-apostolic Christianity in its Catholic tradition, Sunday. Sunday is the mark of identification, according to the Roman Catholic Church, that identifies you as belonging to this post-apostolic Christian institution. It includes all Catholics, and it includes all Protestants. The Protestants are the daughters of the Catholic Church. All of them are post-apostolic Christian institutions. And their mark of identification is, in fact, Sunday. That's why the Protestants keep Sunday as well, if you're wondering. Oh, and by the way, protest is over. It is. The Lutheran Church and the Catholic Church has got that all taken care of, and there's no more protest anymore for those Protestants that still think there's a protest. But anyway, that's a different matter. So those three great religions all have their day of worship to mark them out and identify them. It's amazing, isn't it? For in 6 days, Adonai made the heavens and the earth, but on the seventh day, he stopped working and rested. 6 cosmic days of creation. And then on the seventh, he rested. On the seventh cosmic day of creation, he rested. And by way of analogy, humans are to work 6 solar days a week and rest on the seventh solar day. This is what God imagers do. If we're made in the image of God and we are to image him and mimic him and emulate him, then this is why we keep Shabbat. It says to the world, we belong to the Creator who created all things in 6 days and rested on the seventh. We belong to the Creator and he belongs to us. We're connected with Israel and the God of Israel. And the God of Israel is connected to us. We are one. We are the children of the living God. So, I'm out of time. Any burning questions on my subject matter that I spoke on today? Because this is going to be a series. Yes, quickly. What do you do if kids are in sports? They signed a contract. Right. Yeah, sports is a really big issue, isn't it? You know, the commandments of God always test us. They are tests to see whether or not we're going to serve God. So every time you are in that place of, do I do this or break the commandment? God's testing you to see if you're in idolatry over that issue. And I'll tell you what, if there's one area that really messes with us, it's our spouses and our children. Because we tend to love our spouses and our children more than the Lord. And if you don't think so, wait till they come in conflict over one of the commandments and see what you're going to do with that. If you let them do the things that actually violate Shabbat, it's because you are saying they're more important to God. God's more important than your spouse, more important than your kids. Never make your spouse your idol. Never make your kids your idol. You know why? God says, I'm going to take your idols away. I'm jealous. You don't want him taking your wife or kids away. Man, if you love them, help them keep the commandments that say you keep them and enjoy them. So I would say, you know what? Resist the urge. There are some communities that have sports, like the Seventh-day Adventists, 20 million believers. Seventh-day Adventists, they have schools and school systems with sports, and they do all their activities on Sunday rather than on Saturday. So the kids can still compete and enjoy sports. But you know what? It doesn't conflict with Shabbat. So I would say, you know what? I would work on getting the kids away from that and into serving God as a way of life and helping them understand what the tests are so that they too can learn to live by faith and enjoy the blessing rather than going for the short-term sizzle, but have some long-term drizzle following them around. Okay, good. All right. Praise God. Well, we are out of time, so I'm going to ask Bill to come forward and to lead us in the final blessing today. Shabbat shalom.
Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And we add, in the name of Yeshua our Messiah, the Prince of Peace, so you shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Yivarech Adonai ve'yishmerecha. Yaher Adonai panav alecha ve'yihunecha. Isa Adonai Panavaleka Ve'asemleka Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
You've been listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. We hope you have found this teaching relevant and challenging for your life. If you are in the Metro Denver area, please join us on Shabbat. Service starts at 1 p.m. and ends at 3 p.m. Kehilat Tenuva is located at 8891 Pose Boulevard in Thornton, Colorado, just a few miles north of downtown Denver. For more information, please visit www.graftedin.com. That's www.graftedin.com. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 29993, Thornton, Colorado, 80229. For inquiries, please call 303-761-9948 or email info@graftedin.com. Thank you for listening to the Shabbat message. Shabbat Shalom and Shavua Tov.